into the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5, Today's Modern Worship. I don't know if I said that in the right order today, but you understand anyway. So 91.5 FM. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, and we have got a great weekend lined up at Merit Assembly of God this weekend. The Let It Go tour is going to be coming to Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. If you'd like more information, you can call the church office, 321-454-4263, 321-454-4263. We have some information about that on our website as well, meritassembly.com. And Deanna Schrodes and her ministry team are going to be at Merit Assembly of God this Saturday morning, 11 a.m. is when it begins. And I thought I'd tell you just a little bit about Deanna. She just recently received her master's degree from Southeastern University. She's our women's ministries director, where her focus is reaching and empowering women and investing in leaders. And this is pretty important, leadership health. Now, I don't know if you've ever known a leader that they were really good at leading, but it was something that it had some unhealthy attributes around it, where you just give and you give and you give and you never get, and you never get poured back into. And so she wants to make sure that leaders are in a healthy position. She's ordained with the Assemblies of God as a minister. Her and her husband pastor a church in Tampa, as well as traveling around the U.S. and around the globe, ministering the gospel. She is a musician. She's a worship leader. She's a recording artist. She's an award-winning author. She's written 4 books. And in her spare time, she hosts a Stronger Leadership podcast. So you might want to check that out, the Stronger Leadership podcast. So she has a pretty full slate of activities. You know, she's married. She's got 3 grown kids. She's helping to raise some great nieces and nephews, I think it is. And so she's not only doing it outside the home, her ministry is inside the home as well, as she is loving on these little, it's a little boy and a little girl, and training them up in the things of the Lord. So she is a very active person. So I want to let you know, you can come to Merit Assembly of God, and you can expect to hear a challenging word. There is going to be having some ministry opportunities that are presented that are coming up. And I'm trying to scroll down here and seeing if I forgot anything. There's going to be praise and worship. It's going to be preaching, going to be altar time. There is going to be some products that are available. Every lady that comes is going to receive a gift. And so you will be able to avail yourself of all of that. It's going to be a great, great opportunity. This is not something that is strictly put on by Merit Assembly of God. It's a ministry of Section 5. That's what section number we are, of the Assemblies of God Women's Ministries. Maricela Santiago is the leader of that ministry here in this section. And the Let It Go tour is coming. There's a worship team coming from another church. And so we're looking forward to having a really, really impactful Saturday. And so I pray that you'll put that on your calendar and you'll make it part of your weekend. So that's what's coming up. And on Sunday, I'm going to be leading worship. And I'm not an award-winning worship leader, by the way. Pray for our church. I'm going to be preaching the word. We're looking forward to all that God is doing at Merit Assembly of God as we celebrate Memorial Day and remember those who have given their lives for our great country and for the freedom that we enjoy in this country. A lot of things going on around the world. A lot of them not good, but here in America, we still enjoy a high level of freedom. And we want to take advantage of that and use it to grow and become as much like Jesus as we possibly can. I want to take you to Romans chapter 2 today. Romans chapter 2, we have finished the Holy Spirit guiding us into all truth, but we have not concluded our study on how God leads us. And today we're going to be in a couple of different passages. We're going to start in Romans chapter 2. We're also going to touch over in Second Corinthians chapter 7. That's where we're going to go after this. But I want to remind you as we begin today, God is good. God is good. The devil has done a marvelous job of convincing the world that God is not good. He's also done a masterful job of deception and deceiving people to think that the devil is not bad. The devil has no good long-term plans for you. There may be pleasures of sin for a season, but that season eventually comes to an end in a new season. He's great at convincing people that there's no price tag for sin. And what he doesn't reveal is that the ultimate price tag of that sin is that you die. You die. I'm greatly troubled by some of the new drug exposures that are out there, where you can just literally come in contact with a person who has been doing this drug and you can suddenly find yourself at death's door. That's a very frightening place to be. And so we need to realize how precarious our life is, how one moment you can be healthy and the next moment you can be in eternity. Your season of time is up. We need to make sure that we are ready. Someone recently had a question that they asked that said, you know, do people get an opportunity to repent after they have died? And I don't believe that there is that case. I can tell you this, there isn't anything in the Bible that even hints at reincarnation. It talks about resurrection, but you're not coming back as a butterfly or a snake or anything like that. The life of animals is completely separately detached from the life of human beings. You get one life, you get one lifetime to choose how you want to spend eternity, either with God or without God. We have a sin nature, we have a fallen nature, and therefore we start this life off already on our way to an eternity separated from God. Let me take you to Romans chapter 2 now, and then we will pick it up there. Verse number 1, therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth. Okay, get that. The judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things, doing the same thing, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. So we're going to stop there. I just want to focus today on this aspect, that it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. I know that we recently discussed that knowing the truth brings people to repentance. I know that. But I don't think that we need to just take the concept of repentance and assign that to unbelievers and say, okay, this is just a concept that brings you to salvation. I believe that repentance is something that we all need to be ready to do at any given point in time. Paul was writing this letter here to Let me point it out to you. Verse number 7, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. That's who he wrote to. He wrote to the church. He wrote to people who God loved. And he tells them, he reminds them here, that it is the goodness of God and the forbearance and the long-suffering that is at work in everyone's life right now. Okay? It is the goodness of God, his forbearance, and his long-suffering that no matter what's going on in your life, folks, we could all be wiped out in a matter of seconds. All God would have to do is withdraw his hand. All he would have to do is withdraw the oxygen or extinguish the sun, and boom, we're gone. It is the goodness of God and how patient he is with us that leads us to that place. Let me take you back there, that we don't despise those things because we know that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Now, if you are like me, you can probably think of somebody right now that needs to repent. Okay? That's probably not hard to do. A lot of people want to point fingers, and when they do, they don't realize that other people are pointing at them and say that they need to repent. Here, Paul says that it is the goodness of God that leads you to repent. And so because he is patient with us, he leads us to repentance. And for parents of prodigals or grandparents of prodigals, I want you to take Romans chapter 2, verse number 4, and begin to pray that over those unsaved family members or loved ones or coworkers or neighbors, whoever it might be, and say, God, we don't want you leading us into temptation. You're not going to do that. But God, would you lead me to repentance if anything that I may have done that I need to repent for? And God, for those family members or others, God, would you lead them? And it may be a journey. It may be one of those things. A person recently told my wife, said, you know, you're the third person who has talked to me about this. God must be trying to get my attention, and they put an action plan in place because of what God was dealing. It may be a journey. We would like for it to be instantaneous, and when that moment of deliverance into the kingdom of God happens, it's going to be marvelous. It is going to be fantastic. It needs to be celebrated, but we need to realize that God is not just for a lot of people, not just going to pick them up and transport them like Star Trek from one point to another point. It's going to be a journey. It's going to be a leadership of God. And when he does it, they're going to recognize that God is good. They're going to realize how patient he is and that he is the one leading them. You know, I don't want to give the devil too much credit. He's a master liar, and he tries to convince people that they are the leader when actually we just choose which kingdom we're going to serve in, whether it's the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light. And so as I recently talked about, the pastor from Chicago, he referred to repentance in the modern times as the R word. People don't want to admit. They don't want to admit that they're wrong. They don't want to admit that they need a savior. They don't want to admit that they need help. And folks, I'm here to tell you, I need all of those things. I need all of those things. You might have a schedule where you get to sleep in till noon 30, and all of your needs are met. You don't have a financial care in the world. You don't have a relational care in the world. But folks, I'm telling you, that's not the reality of that I deal with. You know, I deal with people who have health crisis that rises and teenagers. I had a conversation recently with someone, and I was telling them, hey, when kids in our modern era hit 17, 18 years old, I don't know where they pick it up, whether it's from their classmates or at school, but they begin to think that they know everything and that you're just going to continue to provide for them and they don't have to obey the rules or do anything that you want them to do. And I said, I don't know where they get that, but I can tell you that they are not alone in coming to that journey. One of the things that I have tried to do as a parent, as a pastor, is whenever God deals with my heart about something, that I'll be quick to apologize. So I've apologized to other pastors. I've apologized to my wife. I've apologized to my kids. I've apologized to my church. I apologized to people that I've offended. I've apologized to my mother. I've apologized to my father. And, you know, I wanted people to know, hey, I truly am grieved about this. I it's not just, oh, I am so sorry that happened, and then turn right around and do it again. Repentance is a process that is got quite a bit of pain attached to it. If you turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul is writing to the Corinthians. This is his second letter. The first one, he dealt with a sin in the church. And he says here in verse number 8, "For even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. For I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us for nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." Okay? So when we are being led on that journey to repentance, there is a heart of contrition that is definitely involved in the process. If you are verbally repenting of something and it doesn't touch your heart about the pain and the grief and the sorrow that you have brought to God, yourself and to others, then you may be sorry you got caught. But I would dare say that you are probably setting yourself up for the exact same experience round number 2 or round number 20 or round number 30. And you just keep going round and round and round that mountain. When I was a kid, I never enjoyed getting in trouble. It caused me pain. And so if my parents said that not to do something and I did it, then I got in trouble for it. I didn't want to do it again. And that is the difference between godly sorrow and ungodly sorrow. Many people have remorse that they get caught doing something, but given the opportunity to not get caught, they would turn right around and do it again. Godly sorrow realizes that not only is this an act of sin, but this is a spiritual problem, not just a carnal problem. And in order to solve the spiritual problem, we need God, and he wants us to repent the way that David repented. If you go back to Psalm 51, he says, "Create in me a new heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from your presence." He realized that he was in a very precarious situation. God had brought him from tending sheep to being the king over Israel, spared him when the Philistines were trying to kill him, spared him when Saul was trying to kill him, spared him from a whole bunch of bad stuff that could have happened to him. And now, in his complacency, he set himself up in a very precarious situation where he should have lost everything. And yet he, when he was told, you are the man, he repented and said, we're not going to make this mistake ever again. Godly sorrow. Godly sorrow. You know, I don't want to go through, I don't want to go through something and there not be a reason for it. That's what it says in verse number 9. For you are made sorry in a godly manner that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. In other words, that this wasn't going to be without benefit to you. For godly sorrow produces repentance. It's the goodness of God. If you experience remorse from something, thank God you do not have a seared conscience. The Holy Spirit is still able to convict you and deal with you. You are not calloused and you are not numb. Thank God for that. It is that godly sorrow that produces repentance, and the repentance leads to salvation. It leads to salvation. Repentance is not the end of the journey. Repentance is just the next stepping stone to a lifestyle that manifests the salvation of God. Listen, if the only type of life that you have ever known is bondage to sin, bondage to the sin nature, bondage to discouragement, bondage to hopelessness, then I've got good news for you. There is this great, big, wonderful God who loves you so much that he paid the price for your sin, for my sin, for the sin of everybody. It is paid for. He just wants us to come and realize that he's got a whole new quality of life that he wants us to leave, to lead, a life that says we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I know that Easter is in the rearview mirror, but that horrific event of Good Friday, it wasn't about the Easter Bunny. It wasn't about just wiping something away so that you could go back and do it again the next day. You know, that was the old covenant. That was, okay, you sin this year, we're going to have a sacrifice. That blood is going to wipe it away. And then over the next year, you're going to do the same things all over again. You're going to come back next year. And it's listen, the blood of Jesus was a once and for all event. The crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, his blood was shed so that you and I could not only have our sins washed away, but we could live life the way that God always wants us to be. Grace is a favor, unmerited favor from God to live an empowered and holy life. Okay, if you think that you're that God is just like your own little pool boy, standing there and fanning you while you're not doing anything and saying, oh, this is just so wonderful. I don't have to pay this person. I'm just getting to live in the lap of luxury. You missed it. God created you to be more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. There needs to be a mindset inside of us that says, you know what? I am going to make this radical transformation with God's help in my life. And I am not going to live as a slave anymore. I am going to live like the conqueror that King Jesus intends for me to be. I am going to be victorious over temptation. I'm going to be victorious over sin. And instead of being a burden, I am going to be a blessing to those around me. I'm going to share with them the good news that God intended for me. It says here, for godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, but the sorrow of the world produces death. There are certain things that I'll be honest with you, I just don't understand. There are things about the world I don't understand. I had a person that I knew one time, he stole from his employer. They tried to explain the process to me, and it was like, that's so dumb, I can't even understand it. You know, I just really, I could not grasp how that they thought that that system was going to work. So there is there is a sorrow of the world, but it produces death because that sorrow brings hopelessness. And hopelessness, it will steal your joy. It will steal your drive. And it will cause you to believe that there is no reason for you to go on living. That's not God. The devil condemns. The Holy Spirit comes to bring conviction, to point you to Jesus. And Jesus says, I want to take you back to an event that took place almost 2,000 years ago, where I was nailed on a cross and I shed my blood. They put a crown of thorns on me. They pierced me with a sword to make sure that I was dead. And I gave my life. I took your place. And I rose from the dead the third day so that you could realize that there is hope. I brought you my peace instead of the devil's fear. I brought you my joy instead of the devil's anxiety. Jesus has done all of that for us so that we can know repentance leads us to the life that God intended for us all to have, a life where we fellowship with Him and have fellowship with others, and we live up to the purpose that God created us for before the foundation of the world. You know what I believe? I believe that before the earth was formed, God said, you know what? I'm going to create a young boy in Oklahoma who is going to have a wild ride spiritually, but he's going to end up in Merritt Island, Florida, pastoring a church and speaking life into Brevard County. I believe that I was created by God for this, and God has a purpose for you, that if we will allow godly sorrow to bring us to repentance, He will lead us to salvation, and we will live that empowered life. Be sure you put that Saturday at 11 on your calendar. Ladies, don't miss it. Guys, we'll see you at church 10:30 Sunday morning. See you next week right here, or tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio
Thank
program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Temptations lose their power when thou art.